Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you about camping out with God.
Amen.
Okay. How many like going camping? Some of us camp. We like camping in tents, lean-tos, what have you. You know, foxholes. Amen. Campers. Some of us like the hotel camping. I understand that. But how many just like just getting outdoors and being, you know, outdoors with God? Amen? About three of us? Is that all? Rest of you homebodies, right? But, you know, there's something about being outside. And tonight I want to talk about, because that's where I find my greatest peace. I had a chance, about a week and a half ago, had a chance to have a day of solitude. And I recommend that for you, especially I recommend it for pastors. And I've got guys that stay on my butt about this, and I have to admit I don't do it all the time, but I take one day a month, and it's a day of solitude where I just get my Bible, get a book, and just get alone with God, go out in the woods, and or maybe on the lake shore somewhere, but get alone with God. And, man, I find such incredible peace. Sometimes it's deafening. How many of you have ever been in that place where it's so peaceful, it's deafening. It's like, and you can hear things, especially with these newfangled hearing aids. I can hear things now, man. I hear the birds chirping. And, you know, it's just wonderful. Yeah, so, but tonight I want to, I want to talk to you about, if you're taking notes, I've titled it Abiding in Peace. Abiding in peace. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. We're going to be turning to several scriptures tonight. Psalm 91. It says this. Verse 1. He who dwells, or I like to say camps out. He who camps out. He who dwells in the secret place. Now, let me say this. Talk about dwelling, camping. I just give you a visual, okay? So I grew up with a cottage. Our family had a cottage. My grandpa built a beautiful, knotty pine, field stone, small little cottage up on Sand Lake, Michigan, near East Tawas, the chain of lakes up there. And it's just beautiful, just absolutely gorgeous. And as a child, that was my sanctuary. I didn't understand that until I got older, but that was my sanctuary. You know, childhood was pretty brutal, but the memories of being in that cottage, it was a dwelling place. So the smell of the wood, and when they had the fire going, and family would, dad would get the fireplace going, about 7 years ago. Every year we drive up there and we drive by it. So 7 years ago, we happened to be with our brother, your sister, and my brother-in-law. And we were camping up there, and let's go by the cottage. So went drive by, and the family was there, the family that owns it. And my grandfather was a retired Detroit fireman. So here we are now, gosh, 60 years later. And this family's there, so we pull up, and I says, oh, great, someone's there, you know, because I wanted to go, if I could, go inside. I wanted to go inside. So we're talking about abiding in peace, all right? We're going somewhere here. So I said, I walked up, I said, excuse me, my name's Mark, and this is my wife, Jill, and I said, you know, we used to own this cottage. And she goes, really? And I says, in fact, my grandfather built that the year I was born, 55, 56. She goes, really? And I said, would you mind? I couldn't even get it out. She goes, do you want to come inside? I said, yes. And as soon as I walked through those doors, I was in dwelling in the secret place. Just smell the wood. And everything was exactly the way my grandfather built it. Everything was the same. It's beautiful. And the kicker was, the guy who owned it, he's a Warren fireman, firefighter. Yeah. A Warren firefighter. And we got to know this family a little bit. So I said, would you like all the pictures of this cottage through the years when it was built? We had pictures. So we did. I had a DVD made and gave it to him. So my point is this. He who dwells in the secret place. It's like that. It's getting into a place with God that is just so overwhelmingly peaceful. Are you following me tonight? Let's continue. He said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I wrote this down. Maybe you want to write it down. The place of peace is the place of surrender. If you're looking for peace, you got to surrender. Absolute surrender. Now, the Lord directed me a few days ago back to this book that I read many years ago. A pastor gave this. As a matter of fact, a gentleman who was one of my mentors gave me this book many, many years ago. And I was studying, I was just praying, and all of a sudden I heard in my spirit the fire of delayed answers. And I went, Pastor Dick. So I started digging through, and we had a flood a couple years ago. It was about a year ago, right? We lost a lot of our books in the flood. But this one, it's still, I dried it out. And so if you want a great book on prayer and breakthroughs, right here, Bob Sorge, write it down. The Fire of Delayed Answers. Because how many are praying just to find that secret place, to find that peace, right? Well, listen to what, I just pulled an excerpt out of that. I wanted to share this with you. This particular chapter is called Waiting for Delayed Answers. Waiting for Delayed Answers. And Bob Sorge wrote this. He said, in the last chapter, I made this statement. It's God's will to heal you, to provide your financial needs, and to answer all your prayers that are according to His will. Not our will, but His will. But sometimes He delays the answer in order to work a greater surrender in our hearts. Now, what really sparked this week for me was Dale, your testimony about your friend, brother. See, some of us are praying for things, and I'll get into this a little bit later. We wrestle in our mind. I think we all do this. When God, when? How God, how? And Dale, in his testimony last week, his friend who went home to be with the Lord this past week, he'd known since kindergarten. And he'd been praying for him for decades, witnessing to him, and never once would he commit to Christ. So when he passed away last week, Dale's thinking, well, man, make heaven. Till he went to the funeral and found out that this guy's brother led him to Christ. Amen. Just days before. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, the fire of delayed answers. See, we don't like that. We don't like that. You know, think about the heroes of faith. We don't have time to go there, but in Hebrews 12, it talks about all the heroes of faith, and it says that many of them did not see the promise. They didn't see it, but they're seeing it now. They're seeing it now. So, Bob says, He delays the answer in order to work a greater surrender in our hearts. God uses delays as one of his chief tools of refining human character. How many remember what Pastor was preaching on this past Sunday about the refiner's fire and how the fire of God burns off the dross in our life, right? It goes right along with this. Those who are attuned to the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit in this hour also recognize that the Spirit is stirring an incredible urgency in the hearts of his people because the hour is so late. The harvest is ripe and the need for laborers who will minister in the words and works of Jesus is of critical proportions. Jesus is returning soon, my friends. Someone say amen. Amen. And so God is doing a quick work in his people. He's preparing us quickly. To do a quick work, God is turning up the heat and pressure everywhere. Happening all over the world over. Saints and leaders everywhere are testifying to shakings, to fire, distresses, persecutions, and afflictions. The hour is late, and God's people must be prepared quickly. Understanding the urgency of the Holy Spirit, this next statement will sound contradictory, but it's very true. And it's this: to do the quickest work, God waits. I'm going to say that again. To do the quickest work, God waits. To do the quickest work, God uses the hottest of flames. And Jill and I, we were talking earlier, and she said, because we got to get our act together. How many need to get your act together? Come on, we're all there. Every one of us. No one has got this thing nailed down. No one, not a one. No pastor, no apostle, no prophet. No, we're all the same. Nothing new under the sun. So make no mistake about it, folks. We are living in anxious days, days that are causing great anxiety and great concern, which can lead us to worry. How many know what I'm talking about? Which worry leads us to stress. And if we allow these thoughts to go unchecked, it will steal your peace and steal your joy. So, what kind of concerns do we have today? Anybody? Let's talk about it. What kind of concerns are we facing? I'll tell you right now, for me, it's the salvation of my oldest brother, Greg. First and foremost, I want to see God do a restoration. The guy lives a half mile from me and he won't see me. Haven't seen him in 10 years. So, yeah, what about you? Your greatest concern?
When you talk to people and they reject you, you think they're rejecting you, but they're actually rejecting Christ.
Yeah, and it hurts, doesn't
yes.
it? Yeah. So we can just imagine how it hurts the Father's heart. What other concerns are we dealing with today? Yes, Linda. Your kids.
Kids in the world.
Oh, yeah, huge. Huge. Yeah. Yeah. You think in your mind, I do this. Lord, how, Lord? There's got to be a great outpouring and a great move of God. Yes, Bob.
Family.
Yep. Family coming to know Christ. All of us. Yes.
People getting killed over the chicken sandwich.
Yes. Crazy. It's like, what in the world? Or how about in what happened in Mexico yesterday? That family, just like you talk about, and people say, there's no devil. What are you talking about? There's no hell. What are you talking about? He just manifested himself right there. Yeah, Mark. Yes, what's happening in Syria? Yeah, I saw just before we came in tonight, Ann Graham Lotz, is that her name? Ann Graham? Yeah, she put out a message. She prophesied. She said, this is the beginning of Ezekiel 38 is being manifested right now. What's happening in Syria? So yeah, we all have concerns. And my point is, if we don't police those concerns, those cares, those stresses, those worries, the devil can use those against us. How many know what I'm talking about? And so I love Isaiah 26:3 says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon or steadfast on you because he trusts in you." God wants us to stay in that perfect zone of peace, but it's got to start with the Word of God. Someone say amen. Amen. The Amplified says in Isaiah 26:3, does somebody need water back there, brother? You need some water? You good? Okay. He says this, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose minds, both its inclinations and character, is stayed on you because he commits himself to you, leans on you, hopes confidently in you." Come here, Chris, for a second. I need a big guy up here. You're a big guy, big, strong guy for Jesus. Amen. Now, don't let me down, bro. But you're God, and I'm just little old Mark here, okay? So what God wants us to do, you'll keep him in perfect peace that I can lean totally, totally on God. Oh, this feels so comfortable on my back right now. Can I just preach here the rest of the night, brother?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give Chris a hand. Amen. Thanks for helping me out there. See, God wants us to lean on him. Okay? Now, you all know the Hebrew word for peace is what? Shalom, right? That word means this. It implies health, happiness, well-being, and a sound mind. Okay? The only way we're going to get a sound mind is we got to give our mind a bath. And it's got to be scrubbed clean with the Word of God. Amen. That's exactly when you read the Word of God, you'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, which implies our soul, our will, and emotions. See, a lot of Christians think, well, we're just spirit beings. Yes, we are, but you still got to deal with this thing right here. Right? And this thing needs to be given a bath every single day. Amen. We tell our kids, get in the bathtub. Remember, honey, we said bath every day. Come on, in the bathtub, right? Same goes true for our spirit man, for our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. Look at that, Chris. You're giving it so much of a bath, brother, it's falling apart on me. Paul, you didn't do that, brother. That's been falling apart for years. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says this, "God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and what? A sound mind." Sound mind. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. Now, in the Greek, those words, sound mind, it means this, safe thinking, good judgment, disciplined thought patterns. How many need disciplined thought patterns? Right? It means the ability to make right decisions. It includes the qualities of self-control and self-discipline. Self-control, we don't have a devil problem, we have a discipline problem. That's the reality, you know, because, look, we know the devil. He roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, you know, but we give him too much credit. We just need to say, self, get right with God. Mind, quit thinking those thoughts. Jill gave a great testimony the other night about how the enemy was using these, she had these sounds in her brain, these rushing sounds. We went to the doctor, went and had ultrasound done with the carotid arteries and stuff, and sure enough, she got a little bit of clog in her plumbing there, right? But the doctor says what you got is normal for people your age, so don't worry about it. So, and she prayed, no, that sound went away. Well, today, while I was gone, It came back. Was it today? Yeah. Our day's been so long. I don't know. It was. It came back. And you know what she did? She said, oh, no, you don't. In Jesus' name, you get out of my mind. You go. In Jesus, get out, 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 out. Just like that. And guess what? It stopped.
Amen.
See, we gotta speak to ourselves sometimes. And we got to say, self, get right. Self, be healed in Jesus' name. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Now, so this sound mind talks about having self-control. Okay, so the reality is this, guys. All of us, before we came to Christ, we were all out of control. We were just out of control. Our flesh did what it wants, said what it wanted, went where it wanted to, right? But when we became born again, the Spirit of God came into us. Listen, we got changed. Amen. The old man, dead, new man alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But that's talking about the inside. We still got to deal with this right here and this right here, okay? We still got to police our flesh every single day. And if the devil's going to attack us or tempt us or attempt to steal our peace or steal our joy, he's typically going to come through our thoughts. He's going to go after our thoughts. He's going to wage war in the arena of the mind, in the thought realm. Turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. Romans, the 8th chapter. And really, Paul deals with this for three full chapters, the battlefield of the mind, okay? Romans 6, 7, and 8. But I want to zero in on just two verses of Scripture here in Romans, the 8th chapter. I'll wait till you get there. In verse 5, he says here, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. This will help us to understand the way we used to be and the way people are today without Christ. It's all about the mind. Jill, do you have your cell phone? Who's got a cell phone I can use for me? Oh, there you go.
Sorry.
That's okay. She's got her Bible. She's not texting friends. She's not playing games or anything. But no, you think about that. Let's read that again. What did it say? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Snap, 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 look at me, man. See? That's the world today. That's our old, now I'm not getting down on taking pictures, but you know what I mean, right? We're going crazy over ourselves. We're snapping and that whole thing, that stupid thing, that Snapchat. You know, I hate that thing, man. I see, you know, all these goofy pictures and all that stuff, but it's just ridiculous how we're so self-absorbed. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Do you see why Paul in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse in chapter 7, he tells us to come out from among them. Now, hear me on this. It's always balance. The reality of it is today that we cannot do without these things. I mean, I hate it. I want to go back to a flip phone. I really do. But I got to do emails and I got to do text messages and I got all that stuff. So then, well, okay, Facebook's on there, but I want to use it to tell people about Jesus. It's amazing how many old high school buddies and gals that I went to school with are coming out. They're Christians, or they're asking about Jesus. So, boy, this is a nice phone, man. Yeah. But that's the reality. But I'm getting off on there. Okay. Oh, I'm probably not going to get done with this message tonight, so that's okay. But they set their minds on the things of the flesh. We're talking about abiding in peace. Watch this now. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or fleshly or worldly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, here it is life and peace. Life. Listen. I'm so glad you're here tonight. But that's why all of our other brothers and sisters need to be in church. Because I can just be, I'm telling you, reality. I can tell you probably, I'm just guessing, 80%+ of Christians do not do this on their own. They don't spend time with God. God's never called us to live this life alone. He called the church, the body, to live life, do ministry together. There's no stepchildren in the kingdom of God. We've all been adopted into His family. Chris?
Or they say they go to church and they don't.
Yeah, they say they go to church and they don't. So now church, you can have church anywhere. We have church in restaurants. Absolutely. We when you ladies get together just for fellowship, we have church in our life groups. Yeah. Right? Yeah. This is just a meeting place. This is just a building. My point is, and that's why so many in the body of Christ today are cutting their spiritual throat, and this movement of the all doners, we're all done with church. You know, the younger generation, we're all done. We got ticked off at somebody. We're mad at this pastor, or mad at that church, whatever. We, you know, all the stuff that Jill and I have been through over the years, 40 years, from pastors molesting children to you name it. We've seen it all. Not one time did we ever say to ourselves, you know what, I'm not going to church anymore. Those people are phonies. Those people are crazy. Never one time. Never. I just don't get it. I don't get, but I do get this. The enemy of their soul, because they're not renewing their mind, they just, they're, and I'm going to be talking about this, they're led by their feelings, and you can't trust your feelings.
Right.
Where was I in this? Because I'm finding myself in the book of Acts, and that's, I wasn't planning on going there. All right, here we go. So, if the enemy of our soul can successfully gain control over our thoughts, then he can cause you to lose your peace. And how many know here tonight that your mind, your heart, and your mouth are all connected? They're all connected. Heart, mind, and mouth are all connected in this, what we call spiritual warfare, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that's where I was going. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, Paul writes this. I want to get going because we want to end a few minutes early here tonight so we can work with the Hugs crew. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, Paul writes, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down," you know, of strongholds. You think about, you know, those demolition crews. Amen. Pastor Matt's here tonight where he's been talking about demoing one of their buildings, and I love seeing stuff blow up. Amen. I think they ought to just drop a 500-pound bomb from about 25,000 feet, laser-guided bomb, and do away with that building, brother. Or the implodes are so cool. And I see those. How many have ever seen, well, these guys on, like, how it's built or modern marvels when they implode these massive buildings, you know? It's so cool to watch them just fall into the ground or cave in. It is so amazing, you know? And that's when I read that scripture, I think, to the pulling down of strongholds. See, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, if they can't be doing this. Otherwise, they wouldn't be goofed up in all the stuff that they're doing out there today. Those are strongholds, okay? And so he goes on and he says, "For the casting down of arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity and to the obedience of Christ. Now, the word obedience signifies this, an attentive, focused hearing to listening with compliant submission. Compliant submission, okay? Pastor David Platt, anybody ever read David Platt's book, Radical? And he's got a lot of other, but you need to write his name down. This guy is a soul-winning machine. David Platt, P-L-A-T-T. He said this recently. The greatest deterrent to death-defying obedience to Christ is the mistaken illusion that this world is our home. I'm going to say that again. He said the greatest deterrent to death-defying obedience to Christ is the mistaken illusion that this world is our home. In other words, what he's saying is we hold on to the things of this world too tightly. We're just passing through. Because all the things that I'm going to be transparent. I thought about sharing this tonight, but I thought, yeah, I'm going to share this because this is real life. Before I had my heart attack, man, I had all sorts of, I thought, if I die, man, Jill is going to be set for life. Man, she's going to be, woo! You know, I'm like, I was excited about that, you know. But then all of a sudden, I had this heart attack. And, listen, it's no big deal. We talk about this all the time. I said, if you go before me, because she's had knee replacements, so she's got a lot of metal there, and then she's got this 8-inch titanium rod in there with 13 screws. I said, 14 screws, if you go before me, I'm scrapping you before so I can get some money out of this. Amen.
It's titanium.
Hey, listen, it's the best of the best. It's titanium. You throw that away? Come on. Are you kidding me? No, but what happened was, so, you have a heart attack. Then I found out I had a stroke. Then I found out I got an aneurysm. And my life insurance runs out. I couldn't renew it. Can't afford it now. They won't take me. So I thought, oh, Lord. And it really bothered me. It really bothered me. I mean, it upset me greatly. And then I just begin to saturate myself in the Word. I said, what am I worried about? God, you've taken care of us all this. Like, you're not going to let us. You can take care of us, God. So what I was doing, I'm just being transparent. I was holding too tightly to the things of this world that in eternity, it really doesn't matter. Now, that doesn't mean we don't take care of our families, right? We take care of them. Thank God we got kids. Take care of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. No, I'm only kidding. So listen, we hold on to things, and when we hold on to things, what happens is it steals our peace. It steals our peace. And sometimes we gotta surrender to God, listen, moment by moment. Am I just being too real? Come on. It's moment by moment. Turn with me to John 15. John the 15th chapter. We're talking about abiding in peace tonight. Abiding in peace. And Jesus said in John 15, verse 1, he said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not... Now you listen to these words. I take Jesus' words literally. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. God, prune me. I want that to be my prayer. God, prune me. Pruning is painful. Sometimes, and I love helping Jill with the garden, you know, the pruning shears. So you got the little ones, I don't know what you call them, but they're the small ones, and then you got the little bigger ones, and then you got the, the bigger ones, the clippers, right? Right? But then you get the chainsaw. And sometimes I need the chainsaw on my life. Chainsaw, God's chainsaw of pruning. And so he goes on, verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That word abide, actually in Psalm 91, it literally means to take up permanent residence. Abide means to take up permanent residence. In other words, I'm putting down my stakes with Jesus Christ. The only one that can pull those stakes up is moi. He goes on to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. So recently I found myself just feeling like I'm not connected to the vine. Anybody ever felt like that before? And you know what? This is normal life, because we have flesh. If I can do anything to help you tonight, it would be this. Don't be so tough on your flesh. You know if you're disconnected or not. You know if you're not spending time with God or not. You know, don't let the devil keep putting condemnation on you. It's not from God. But when you recognize that it's the Father saying to you and to me, come away with me. Spend time with me. So that's God's love towards us. He loves us. He's gently calling us back to him. Why? Because he wants us to abide in peace. And what happens is, if we're not there, we're thinking things like, what if, how can, why God, why, how God, how, I'm feeling this way or I'm feeling that way. And all the while, these thoughts are raging in my mind, and it's stealing my peace. You know, David had this deal happen with him in 1 Samuel chapter 30. We don't have time to go there tonight. But you know the story. Ziklag, the town that they were at, all their families were at. The enemy, the Amalekites came in, man. They burned the place to the ground. They took the wives. They took the kids, man. They got back there. They're out with all their buddies, all the soldiers. And all of a sudden, these guys are blaming it. David, you're the problem here. You're the one that caused all this, man. They picked up stones, ready to stone him. But David did this. He fixed his thoughts on God. That's what he did. He began to encourage himself in the Lord. Lord God, I need you. I'm desperate for you. Lord, is the church desperate for Jesus? Is the church desperate for God? If we are, then we're going to declare it. We're going to cry out to him. And guess what? God showed up. God showed up in David's life. God made things better. And David went, took the enemy on, destroyed them all, and got all the family back. Not one of them hurt. Amen. Someone say, God is good. David fixed his thoughts. Paul talks about fixing our thoughts. Philippians chapter 4. And then I'm going to give you three things how you can keep your peace tonight. Philippians, the fourth chapter, very quickly. Kind of skipping over a lot here tonight, but it's all good. Someone say it's all good. Philippians 4, verse 4, here's Paul. He's writing this while chained to a floor in a Roman prison. In verse 4, Philippians 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious. Remember that song? Do 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 do. Don't worry. Be happy. Right? Remember that? That's Paul right there. If Paul had that song back then, he would have been singing, don't worry, be happy, right? And he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace, there it is, and the peace of God. You know what? I picked as we're praying, we're thanking God. God, I thank you for my brother's salvation. I don't know how it's going to happen. I thank you, God, that you're going to restore our relationship. I don't know how that's going to happen. But what I keep visualizing in my mind is some trucker, because my brother's a trucker. Some trucker is going to come tell him about Jesus. Amen. That's what's going to happen. And he's going to have many visitations. That's why. And you know, when I get that visual in my mind, guess what happens? Peace and thanksgiving going up at the same time. Thank you, Lord. You're answering. For those of you that are praying for loved ones, don't give up. I say this a lot. Don't give up, man. Look at my brother here. He didn't give up. He kept telling his friend about Jesus. He didn't see anything, but guess what? Somebody came along. His own brother led him to Jesus. Someone say, God is good. Amen. So he goes, be anxious for nothing, with everything in prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and guard your what? Mind. He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you. And the peace of God will pass all understanding. Guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are right, lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That word meditate means to chew on it. It's like a cow chewing cud. You ever see a cow? Well, out at my son's farm now, they got, I don't know, 40, 50 head of cattle right next door, man. And, or we watch the goats and they chew. Do you know what they're doing? They're constantly chewing their cud. And you know what they do? They swallow that. And then they hork it back up in their mouth and they chew it again and again. Then they swallow it and they get some more in there and they chew it and they're horking. I know it sounds gross. What are they doing? They're meditating. That's a picture of meditating. They're saying, is this good? Is this good? I'm going to keep on. And you know, anytime you go to those animals, they'll eat anything. They'll eat anything. They'll meditate on anything, right? Right? But this is what he's talking about meditate on these things. Why? Then he says in verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. Now I want to give you, in closing tonight, three things that may help you to abide in peace. Here they are. Number one, recognize that you and I are in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. We need to clothe ourselves. If we know that we're at war, then we need to put on the battle gear, which is the Word of God, the power of the Spirit, and prayer. Okay? So, number one, recognize that we're in a spiritual war. Paul said in Romans 8, 31, if God be for you, who can be against you? God, my friend, is on your side. God wants just as bad to see your family healed, restored, delivered, saved as you do. Even more. Number two, second thing that may help you is don't trust your feelings. Trust the Holy Spirit and trust the Word of God. Trust the Holy Spirit and trust the will of God. In other words, if your feelings are pulling you How many have ever watched that show, Wicked Tuna? You ever see Wicked Tuna? Those guys that go out into the Boston Bay there and they fish for tuna, man. They're pulling in these 100-pound. I see it down there. They're tugging. They're pulling, man. And the boats are rocking and everything. And they're pulling the tuna for hours, pulling up those big giant tuna. And by the time they flip them, listen, that's what happens in our minds when we're being tossed to and fro. The enemy pulls on us. Okay? He's trying to set the bait. But we don't take the bait. We take the word of God. Amen? Because you can't trust your feelings. All right? I love what Pastor Willie George said one time. He said, your feelings are not leaders. Your feelings are followers. Your feelings are followers. All right? And then number three. This is for me. This is for me. Guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. Your mouth gets me in so much trouble. Doesn't it, Jill? Psalm 141, verse 3 says this. Set a guard. Set a guard. Set a guard. O Lord, over my mouth, keep watch over the doors of my lips. Remember, we said the head, the heart, and the mouth are connected. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34 that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Which do we love, death or life? I wrote this and I'll close with this. A person's life largely reflects the fruit of his or her tongue. To speak life is to speak God's perspective on any issue of life. To speak death is to declare life's negatives, to declare defeat or complain constantly. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And here's the deal. We all wrestle with this, folks. So there's no condemnation. It's just like, okay, God, I know I deal with this. Help me. Help me. You can help me, Lord. Lord, bring a brother into my life. Bring a sister in, for you ladies. Bring a sister into my life. We were talking with a bunch of pastors the other day. And we were talking about this. So many people get offended so easily. And especially today. And here's one of the main reasons I see it. Okay. The political correctness of the world, because they can't stand truth, has crept into the culture of the church. So that any kind of correction instantly is fought with anger, in defensiveness, in lashing out. And we're seeing it everywhere, are we not? Don't kid yourself. It's in the church too. And here's why. Because people, they get out of peace. They get their feathers ruffled when, you know, how can I make it? I'm just going to be real. No, we don't hug women like that here at this church. We don't. It's not good. It's not healthy. Not healthy. Not a good thing. I'm not saying that happens here, but I've had to at other churches as either the head pastor or the family life guy, whatever, I've had to straighten guys out about that privately and have dudes do literally like that to me and walk out. Hey, one guy do that at a meeting of Ministry of Health people. And I just brought it out in general. Listen, this is the proper way to hug a woman. And the dude put himself out. He got up in the middle of the meeting and said, I'm out of here. And I went, nobody knew that I had to talk to you, but you just pointed yourself out. Like, dude couldn't. talking about abiding in peace tonight. Amen? How many want that for your life? Yes. Hallelujah. See, that's stealing my peace right there. Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. Well, let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the blood of your Son. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, without you, Jesus, you said it tonight. If we're not abiding in you, we can do nothing. So, Lord, tonight, Father, would you just fill us with your peace tonight? Lord, I know there are people here that have storms raging in their lives, God, whether it's personal, family, work, health, whatever, God. Father, by the gentleness of your Holy Spirit, would you just bring calm to that storm right now in Jesus' name? Bring your peace, God, that passes all understanding, that we can know everything's going to be okay because you're on the throne and we're not. You're a God that loves us, cares for us, and wants the very best for us. So, Father, just fill each and every one of us tonight, God, with in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, my friends. Good time with Jesus tonight. Good time with you. So if you can stay, we'd love to have you.